Hi everyone, my name is Justin Odisho and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today I'm very excited to have Gibson Hazard on the show. Gibson's a young creative, photographer, videographer who's recently come off some big tours with artists such as Kyle and Black, who's opening up for the weekend. His photos of many popular artists have been making waves online, and he's one of the best up-and-coming videographers and editors I've seen. Every time he posts a video, you guys message me tons of DMs about it. So in this episode, we dive into some of his journey from starting out shooting small shows in his hometown, moving to LA, eventually dropping out of college, and some of his secret sauce on how he manages to always be improving and editing these crazy videos and future goals of his. Gibson's managed to accomplish a lot of great stuff in his journey already at a young age. It seems like he's got a lot of great things coming. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. What's up, Gibson? Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
And happy birthday too. You just turned 21 recently, right?
Yeah, like a little while ago, like 6 weeks ago or something like that.
It was a bit ago, yeah. You take like a road trip or something? Were you away for a while?
Yeah, I took a road trip with my sister for my birthday for like a week. We went to like a bunch of national parks and stuff. And it was like pretty much right after I got back from that tour, from the weekend's tour with Black. Mm-hmm. So I was just like super exhausted because I'd been touring for like 6 months straight. And I was just like, I need to like take a week and like not make any videos and not edit anything and just like chill. So I didn't bring my camera, I didn't bring anything, and I just hung out for a week and it was awesome.
Go off the grid. So I wanted to get into that too. Like you've been doing a lot specifically, like even in the past year or the past 6 months. But before we get into that, how did you I've seen you tweet before that you just started editing videos, like, I guess I'll rewind way, way before. How I ran into you is, I think when you were doing the tour videos for Kyle, I kept getting people DMing me asking about how to do this or how to do that or how to edit like this guy. And that was you. So I kept seeing you pop up. So I gave you a follow, checked out some of your stuff. And I think maybe that's where a lot of people might have picked up on you recently, is on these tours. But how did you even start editing video?
Well, I was like a photographer at first, so I started out everything, I guess, in high school. I was just in a photo class and it was like super trash and I hated it. And the only way that I could like take photos and like not want to die was by like going to concerts and like taking pictures of concerts. And so I just started going to like really, really, really small shows in Boston. And like for bands with like 200 likes on Facebook, like literally like their family members in the crowd and shit.
So you're from Boston, right?
Yeah, I'm from Boston. So I was just like shooting shows like that. And then I moved out to LA and I was at college at Chapman for like 2 months or something like that. And I dropped out after 2 months and just kind of started like trying to do the photo video thing full time, or photo thing, I guess, full time. And the photo thing just didn't work for a while. Like I was really just like struggling in LA for probably like 8 months, like a solid 8 months. I was just like trying to go to as many shows as I could and just try to get on somehow, and try to get on tours and stuff through photo, and it just wasn't happening. And so one of my friends from Boston was this kid, William Bolton, and he was at Boston College and I was at high school in Boston. And I just like hit him up. I just emailed him like when I was a junior, I think, or not, I guess senior, and I was just like, yo, like, if you ever need anything, let me know. And I was kind of doing a little bit of graphic design and a little bit of everything and like a little photo, but I wasn't very good at anything. And I was just like, if you ever need anything, let me know. And we linked I think we linked like twice in Boston, and then we both moved out to LA around the same time, so we just started hanging out in LA. And then he had this European tour with Hoodie Allen, and so he brought me out to do photo on that tour. And that was like the first real tour I'd ever been on, pretty much. And so while we got out there, or like I guess right before we left, we kind of decided that like he needed video as well as photo, but I'd never done video before. So I basically decided I was going to like make a video every single night, like for every single show from the whole tour. So there were like 20 shows or something like that in 30 days. So I made around 20 videos during that tour. And so that was, I guess, like kind of how I started. And then
with the video.
When I got back to LA from that tour, it was kind of like, I don't know, everything was kind of different, honestly. Because like when you can do photo and video, you're just so much more valuable to an artist. Like, when you can only do photo, just like photos, I feel like photos kind of like a dying industry anyways, with like how good iPhone pictures are, and like the fact that iPhone pictures like do better on Instagram than professional photos a lot of times. So yeah, it was like really hard to make anything happen with photo, but once I started doing video and like I could do both, I just had a lot more like value to these artists that I already knew and stuff like that. So that was when everything started, I guess.
I agree with you. Like, now everyone can be a photographer. It's much more accessible, like, because an iPhone can record full HD, an iPhone can iPhone pictures do really well on Instagram, whereas sometimes really professionally shot pictures might not look as natural. But so even before that, how old were you when you moved to LA, and what like caused you to move to LA? Just college, or?
Well, yeah, that was just for college. So like, as soon as I graduated high school, I was like, originally I applied to colleges based on like baseball. So I used to play baseball a lot, and that was kind of like my criteria for college, was it had to be somewhere warm and it had to be somewhere that I could play baseball at. And so I chose Chapman because it was warm and because I thought I could play baseball there. And then the baseball thing kind of fell through, and it kind of worked out that it happened to be in LA, because obviously that's like the best place to be for shows. And so that kind of made it a lot of an easier decision to drop out, because I already kind of knew LA and stuff, you know? So I wasn't quite as like starting from scratch as I would have been if I had like gone somewhere like North Carolina and then tried to move to LA without knowing anyone. So yeah, I moved out to LA for college, and then that kind of made it like, I don't know, it like made more sense to move out there.
Yeah. Do you feel like just being in LA, do you feel like if someone were to just move to LA that would be the right, like, I have this belief that if you just put yourself in the right environment, it'll just start to happen naturally. Did you meet people and
it doesn't start to happen naturally.
It does and doesn't, like, in both ways. You said you were struggling for like 8 months.
You're saying that you think people should move to LA, or you're saying unless you have a foundation, you shouldn't?
No, I'm saying, like, I think even if you just jump cold turkey into it, that if you're hustling, that you might not even know who you'll run into and the connections and the right networking that you'll do.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I have definitely seen it go both ways. I've seen people come out here with nothing and no connections and make it happen. And I've definitely seen people come out here with no connections and not make it happen. So, like, I think it really depends on the person and, like, the situation and, like, and kind of, I think the biggest thing is, like, is whether you're tight. Like, whether you're, like, you can kind of navigate, like, the scene, like, socially and stuff like that. And whether you, and, like, work-wise, if you can, like, provide value to people, then, yeah, there's definitely way more opportunities here. But it doesn't mean that if you come out here, you're going to be able to make it happen. Yeah, like, you know? Definitely. So, like, it really just comes down to, like, whether you're tight, I feel like. And when I moved out here, I was not tight. And I was just, like, not that good at photo. And I think I thought I was better than I was. But I thought it was going to be really easy to make it happen, and it definitely wasn't. And I definitely had a pretty long transition period where I was trying to figure out like how to make it happen. And for that first like year in LA, it was like not like a very good situation, just because I didn't really know anyone out here. I didn't really have that as many connections as I thought I did, and I just wasn't as good as I thought I was. And so when you move to LA, you kind of realize that, because like when you're from Boston, it's like everyone thinks you're sick. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't tight when I was in Boston, but like there's nobody else doing concert photography in Boston really. Mm-hmm. Like there are definitely people, but like there's a lot less competition than there is in LA, you know? And so when I got out here and I realized like how many people were actually like amazing at what I was doing, like it pushed me to like be better, I feel like. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I don't know, it like really depends on like your situation, but I would say the first thing is always like the work, and if you're not like tight, then moving to LA isn't going to do anything for you. But it can definitely like, it can definitely kind of just like add fuel to the fire if you already like shit popping, you know?
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of talented people out there. I'm sure there's a lot of talented people everywhere, but
like once I moved out to LA and I kind of like realized pretty much as soon as I got there, honestly within the first couple days of college, I realized that it was like not someplace I was going to stay for 4 years.
What were you studying? Or what were you like?
I hadn't decided. I was still undeclared.
Okay, yeah.
Like really, yeah. And I was just like not going to classes that often or not doing homework and stuff like that. I just wasn't really like trying that hard. And I kind of just took all that energy and just applied it to like my photo stuff.
I kind of want to get into that because there's a lot of younger people that listen, and I went through the same thing. I just recently graduated, but I never felt like I was going to go use my degree and do something. Did you feel like you were going to, did you have people telling you to go to college, or did you have some like, oh, I'm going to be an accountant or something? Or did you just kind of go because you didn't know?
So I was like at this boarding school in Boston called Milton Academy, and it was definitely like very college oriented, I would say. Like kind of everyone there was like super focused on what college they were going to go to, and like, and it wasn't really like, nobody even thought about the fact that you could not go to college. Like, I'm literally, as far as I know, I'm the only person that I graduated with that's not in college right now. Like, every single other person I graduated with is going to college right now. And so, people, yeah, like, that was definitely, I didn't ever think I was going to drop out. Like, that never really crossed my mind until I got to LA and I realized that I didn't fuck with college the way I thought I was going to. And yeah, I don't really know like what inspired me to drop out originally, but yeah, I mean, once I was kind of in that situation, it just felt like the right thing to do at the time.
Did it start off like taking a break, or was it just like, nope?
Yeah. So basically I was at Chapman for like 2 months. Then there was Thanksgiving break. I went home for Thanksgiving break and I actually got mono. And so I kind of either had to go back and try to do finals like with mono and like not do very well and stuff, or I was gonna have to, or I was just gonna like drop out, you know. And so I was kind of, at that point I was kind of like, all right, I'm probably not gonna like, probably not gonna finish 4 years anyways because this place kind of sucks. So I might as well cut my losses now and just like bail. You know? And so I bailed and I went back to LA around Christmas, I want to say, once I like didn't have mono anymore, and just kept trying to make it happen for a while, I guess. Yeah.
So that was like the two, you said there was about an 8 month stretch that things were a bit of a struggle, and then you went on that tour with your buddy Will?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so for those 8 months, like I was living, I actually like was living in a fraternity at USC. So there was a fraternity, it's kind of like crazy, but there was this fraternity at USC that like, I guess it was kind of the worst fraternity there or something, and so like nobody wanted to rush it, and so like basically they just like had all these rooms that nobody was living in, so they kind of rented them out on like Craigslist and stuff. And so I was just living in a fraternity at USC for a while, and it was like pretty cheap and stuff, and it was in a pretty good location because it was near some stuff. And so yeah, I was literally just living there and like going to shows and like editing all the time and like, and just doing like anything I possibly could. I was like getting into shows. I guess like I should probably talk about this because people ask like all the time like how I got into shows and stuff at the beginning. So basically like my thing was like I would email like openers and stuff like that to shows, and I would also use like media outlets. Like you pretty much have to use media outlets to get into concerts. And so
you mean like blogs or magazines that you could
shoot for? Yeah. Because like it's kind of like whack, I guess, but no artists like really respond to like freelance photographer emails just because like there's so many of them, and like so many of them are trash that like they don't really, and like most managers like they don't really care about content as much as they care about like publicity for their artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so like if they think that you can provide publicity to the show, like on the show and stuff like that, then they're willing to help you out and get you a pass. And if they think you're just trying to like take photos to like for yourself and stuff, they don't really care. So pretty much the only way I would get into concerts was like through blogs and all that stuff. And then like through that, if I had good photos like and the artist liked them or whatever, then I would kind of like be able to sort of build a relationship with the artist. Like hopefully that was like the idea, I guess. And so basically like my friend Ben Astakoff had this outlet called, or still has actually, but it's this like blog called Roman's Wrap Up. And so it was tight because like we could email from like at an email at romanswrapup.com. So it looked official and all that stuff. And he had the whole site and it's like a really like well laid out thing and everything. And like, it's not a blog getting like millions of views or anything, but like we made it sound official. Yeah. And so we were able to get passes to a lot of really tight stuff. And so that's kind of like how I started. And I would just go to any show I could, basically any show I could get a pass to. And, and I would try to take, and the other thing was, like, my Instagram always looked really, like, I always tried to make myself look way more popping than I was, and so I would, like, post pictures of, like, big artists and stuff like that, and I would just, like, I would reuse pictures from, like, so if I shot, like, there was this one show I shot pretty early on, it was, like, Drake, Future, and, like, Kendrick and all these people, so I was able to use those photos for, like, months and just, like, keep posting the same shit to, like, make my page look better and stuff, you know?
So you're associating yourself with relevant and popping acts, too.
I mean, sort of, yeah. I wasn't, like, lying. I wasn't saying that I shot.
Yeah, obviously you took the picture.
I was just, like, trying to make it look like I was really, like, doing cool shit when, like, yeah. I wasn't. But
basically, yeah. Just keeping your page as clean as possible. But so, like, this span of time that you're talking about, it's kind of similar to what you were doing in Boston, except now you're in LA going to shows. Right. And now you're also hustling, like, to get into access to better shows and and keeping your pages up.
Yeah, so then basically, like, I had that tour with Will in Europe. I got back from that tour, and then I was kind of continuing to do the same thing in LA, but, like, on a different level because I started doing video. So mm-hmm. I remember, like, the first video that I made that I was, like, really happy with, that I was like, man, this is, like, sick, was there was this O Wonder show in LA. And I had actually, like, known them from, I had, like, shot a couple of their shows for blogs and stuff in the past. And so that was how I was able to get the pass from them. And then I went and I made a video. I literally only had a photo pass for three songs, but I made a video from the show. And I sent it to them, and they were like, oh my God, we watched this, like, 30 times on the tour bus. Like, you should come on tour with us and all that stuff. And that was when I was like, all right, like, this is sick. Because, like, I literally didn't even know them, like, in person, really. Like, I'd met them and shot them twice before, but I wasn't, like, friends with them by any means. And, like, they wanted to bring me on tour just because they saw my video. And I was like, when I saw that, when that happened, I guess, I was like, damn, like, video is, like, really what's going to put me on.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from then on, I was really just, like, focused on video and just making better and better stuff. And yeah, so then I think it was, like, another month went by that I was kind of just in LA, like, trying to shoot shows for free again. And then this guy, G Nash, hit me up and brought me on a tour. It's like a radio run around the U.S. So that was cool. That was, like, my first, like, paid big tour, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I did a European run with him. And then I did a South American tour, like a mini South American tour with Travis Mills. And then I think I went straight from that to the Kyle tour. So the Kyle tour was, like, the first, like, full American, like, real tour I'd been on. And that was, like, I think that was, like, what put me on to a lot of people. I think a lot of people found my stuff through that tour.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that I was really, like, putting out, like, bangers, I would say. Like, yeah. That was when I started making videos that I was like, okay, these are, like, pretty sick. Like, looking back at them, they blow, but, like, whatever. At the time, I was like, these are kind of sick. And I feel like a lot of people kind of, like, found my stuff through that tour.
Yeah. So how did you magically just start transition from photography to video? Like, how did you start editing? How did you start learning? It seems like when I follow you on Instagram, you're always learning and you're always, like, hungry to learn new things. How did that start?
Yeah, I mean, so since I started video, like, every video I've made has been better than the one before. That's been, like, my whole, like, kind of goal is, like, to never put out a video that's not my best video yet. Like, I want, whenever anybody goes to my Instagram page or Twitter or whatever, I want, like, the video at the top of my page to be, like, the craziest video I've ever made, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and so I'm, like, always trying to learn new stuff. Like, and part of that is just because I get really bored, like, making videos that I've made before. So, like, if there's anything, I don't know, like, I just don't understand, like, how people can just make the same video over and over again. Like, I know a lot of video people that I see that literally are essentially doing the same shit over and over and over again. And I just can't do that because I just get super fucking bored. And so the only way that I keep myself entertained when I'm, like, making videos is by like, doing something new, like, learning something new, yeah, or trying to make something that's, like, different from, like, anything I've made before, or cool or whatever, you know? And so, yeah, I would say that's been, like, the biggest thing. I forget where I was going with that, but yeah.
Basically, when you're always learning new things. Like, I saw on Twitter and Instagram, you are learning Cinema 4D now, and you're making these fun, like, cool renders, and like, and your new videos are now incorporating all these different renders that you're now learning how to create. Did you sit down and was it just natural at first because you already know how a camera works, so you kind of probably were able to shoot video, and then when you loaded it up into the computer and edit it, did you just kind of have a natural feel for how to sequence things together, or was there a specific inspiration?
So at the very beginning, I didn't really want to do video for a while because I was just not inspired by anything I had seen before. And in terms of music, at least, I just saw a lot of recap videos, and they were all like just super bland and like all kind of the same shit over and over again. Like, I'd never seen anyone do like a cool music video, mm-hmm. not music, like a video in like the music industry, like whether that's a recap or a music video or anything. Yeah. I just wasn't inspired by anything in the music industry. And then I saw this video called Watchtower of Turkey, which was like basically this guy that went to Turkey for a month or two and shot this video handheld. Like, just super simple, like, nothing crazy, all edited mm-hmm. in Final Cut, like, essentially what I'm doing right now. But he just did it all himself, and it was so fire, and it was had all these crazy transitions and stuff, and I was just like, holy shit, like, I've never seen anything like this before. I need to make videos like this, but, like, for music, for concerts and mm-hmm. stuff. So that was, like, my initial thing. I was like, I need to make those level quality videos in, like, music, because nobody's doing that right now. And so... yeah, that was like my initial inspiration, I guess. And since then, I've had a lot of other inspiration that have like kind of come together. Like, yeah. I think it's super important not to be like too inspired by like any one person or thing. Like, I see people that hit me up and they're like, dude, like, you inspired my video, and they like send me a video, and it's like literally a carbon copy.
Yeah.
Which is like cool. It's like great because they're like learning how to do that stuff or whatever. But I just think like if you want to make a video like someone else, like, at the best case, you're going to be that other person, but there's already that other person.
Yep.
You know, it's, if you really want to, like, do something amazing, like, it has to be, like, unique. It has to be, like, your own style and stuff. And so, yeah, like, I definitely started out being inspired by Watchtower of Turkey, and then since then, there have been a bunch of other videos, I would say, or people that have, like, inspired my videos and kind of taken them in, like, different directions.
Yeah.
And so, I would say, yeah, so, like, the Cinema 4D thing started, like, I was on this Kyle tour, and I had never even heard of Cinema 4D before. I didn't even know what that was. And there was this girl on the Kyle tour named Kitten Janae, who does a bunch of cool animation shit, mm-hmm. Cinema 4D, and she did all like the visuals for the show. And so, like, I saw all that stuff, and I was just like, holy fuck, like, I didn't even know that you could do that. Like, she was like, she has these videos where she like puts animated people in like real videos, and I was just like, what the fuck, like, that's so crazy. Like, I can't even imagine what my videos would look like if I could, like,
yeah.
if I could incorporate those things to, like, what I'm already doing right now. And so I kind of decided, like, damn, that would be sick to incorporate. And then, like, I've seen a bunch of people that do cool shit in After Effects, and I'm like, man, I need to, like, bring those things into my videos. And I'm just trying to bring, like, all this cool shit that I see, like, across the internet and just put them all, like, mostly outside of the music industry, honestly,
yeah.
and just put them into my, like, tour videos and just make some shit that people haven't seen before, you know?
Yeah.
And make something like hopefully like entirely original, or not entirely, but just something new, you know?
Yeah, everyone has like lots of different, no idea is original, as they say, but
yeah,
like you said, you have to just take everything and then put your own spin on it, use it your own voice to express it. Because
my friend always says like originality is just like hiding your sources really well.
Yeah,
you know?
It's stealing without getting caught or whatever. But a lot of people that follow me too were inspired by that Watchtower Turkey video, and I see that too, because I review and I get a lot of people messaging me their videos to watch over, and it's always, I can always tell when someone puts their own spin on it, or it's just like, if it's just trying to be exactly like the other video, then I don't even want to watch it, because I'd rather just watch the original person, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's something that I think people could definitely take into account. Like, you don't have to be groundbreaking, but just do your own thing. Because being yourself is better than being like number two, trying to be someone else. But so I always get DMs specifically asking about your stuff. So you're saying right now, like, there's no secret sauce, there's no like secret transition or plug-in or thing that you're doing, right? What programs are you using?
This pisses me off so much is like people, like recently a couple people hit me and been like, yo, like what preset transitions or what transition presets do you use? And like, it's just annoying. Like everyone just wants like the shortcut to like making it, but there's like no shortcut. Like anything that's like, that's cool and like new, like it takes time. Like it takes a lot of like, just, you have to just keep working on stuff like over and over and over again. Like any video I put out, like I tweeted like a screenshot the other day of my hard drive and like all the exports for my new video. And I think I exported like 30 or 40 versions or something. I don't think they were all in the screenshot, but I exported like 30 or 40 versions over like a couple days. And I just like, the first one that I exported was like the final version. I was like, this is done. This is ready to go. And then I would like airdrop to my phone and I'd watch it and I'd be like, fuck, like I fucked up this part, or I need to change this or whatever. So I'd go back and I'd like make the changes, and then I'd export it again and I'd be like, fuck, like I messed up this other thing, or like I need to like improve this, or like I'd show it to people and they'd be like, this is dope, but like the intro like could be a little stronger. So I'd be like, all right, fuck, I'm gonna go back and redo the intro. And then I would notice something at the end. I'd be like, man, like what if I restructured this and like flipped this and whatever, you know? Or like a lot of times I'll see a shot and I'll be like, this is like almost there, like it's almost smooth, like not quite. And so I'll go back and I'll like figure out, like usually there's like one or two frames that are off a little bit, or like I'll just have to like crop it in a little bit or like whatever. So like a lot of times there's just like tiny little things that are like not quite there that most people wouldn't notice, but like just kind of like take away from like the overall smoothness of the video. So I definitely like go over my shit like over and over and over and over and over again. And so that like when people are like, oh, like dude, send me your preset, I'm just like, bro,
yeah, this took like 50 revisions.
Yeah.
And the stuff that you don't see behind the scenes of, and it's annoying to export and render something out. Like sometimes when I see a mistake, it might be the smallest mistake, just like a one frame at the end, and I'm like, oh, I really need to get this video out tonight. And then you have to export the whole thing again in like another 2 hours. It's like, that it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, that's why I love Final Cut so much, and I do everything pretty much in Final Cut, just because, like, it's so fast. Like, when I was on Premiere, it would take forever. Yeah, it would take, like, 2 hours to export. But for Final Cut, generally, it's only, like, a couple minutes to export anything. I would say, like,
about how long are the videos you're talking about? Like, these 1 minute, 2 minute videos?
Yeah, I guess, but even, like, the longer ones don't take that long.
I think Final Cut is better with certain things. Do you use a Mac? Let's get into like a little bit of like gear talk. What kind of gear do you use? What are you editing on? What computer?
Yeah, I mean, I have this old ass Mac. I need to get a new one. The left like 10% or 15% of the screen is like cracked, so I can't see anything. So like in Final Cut doesn't narrow, like you can't change the dimensions of it. So like I always have to like move around Final Cut to like get to anything on the left, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It sucks. But yeah, so I use Final Cut basically for everything until after the Black Weekend tour ended was in Final Cut. The only thing I would do outside of Final Cut was if I did a hyperlapse, it would be in After Effects. But I honestly like don't use hyperlapses very often. Yeah. I think I probably did like 4 or 5 hyperlapses on the whole Black tour. Probably 4 or 5. I don't know. I don't think I've done more than like 6 or 7 ever, honestly. Yeah. And yeah, so I use
what other programs do you use?
I use After Effects sometimes now. This summer I've really been trying to get into After Effects and Cinema 4D, so I've been doing some cool masking stuff the masking stuff in Final Cut is super fire.
Yeah,
most of the masking stuff I've been doing has been in Final Cut too. So like the new thing I put out a couple days ago, which maybe we can like link in the description or something, but it's like this little thing where I was like basically walking around Black, it kind of looks like a little 360 spinning thing. And I did all the masking for that in Final Cut, and it turned out pretty cool. But I built the grid for that in Cinema 4D. So I'm like definitely trying to like incorporate more Cinema 4D and After Effects elements to it. But I think I'll always edit in Final Cut just because organizationally, it's just so easy. It's so user-friendly and just fast and fast to export. And I just feel like it fits my videos really well. The best thing about Final Cut is, like, honestly, the fact that you can speed up and stabilize clips at the same time. The fact that you can't do that in Premiere very easily is so stupid.
Yeah, you there's a little bit of nesting tricks that you have to do to, like...
Shit is slack, though.
Yeah.
In Final Cut, it's so smooth. Like, that's how everything is so smooth, because, like, you can speed up and stabilize everything in Final Cut, like, just super easily. And so...
Do you use Photoshop at all for anything?
Nah. Okay. I haven't used Photoshop in forever. But, yeah, I mean, for photos, it's all Lightroom.
Yeah. Oh, and Lightroom, of course, because you come from a photography background. So yeah. I think that people could take away some good points from that is, like, you're not working with the latest iMac Pro. Your screen is cracked, you know, and you're kind of making it work and learning. So like you said, everything up to, like, all the Kyle Tour videos were just done in Final Cut with some slick camera work and, like, persistence and editing it to make it exactly how you want. And then you started branching out. But let's get into some of these recent tours that you've been on. So that's some of your earlier history. So you got in touch with the Kyle Tour stuff from a few of those world type of tours that you were doing earlier, networking. Take us from the Kyle Tour to the Black Tour to opening up on, like, how you opened up on the Weekend Tour and all that.
Yeah. So the Black Tour happened because basically right when I got back from one of the Nash tours, Black had a show in Orange County. And I just went, my friend had a, he was like kind of working with them on some stuff. And so he was able to get me a photo pass for it. I went, I made a video. It was pretty cool. It's still on my Instagram at the very bottom, I think. I made that video for him for free just like because I wanted to work with him. And they were looking for someone to do video on the Starboy tour. So they were like, yo, you should come through. And then I actually met them again in real life. Well, I met them for the first time. I never even met them at the show that I made the video from. So then I was at South by Southwest with Kyle right before their tour. And so we had a show. We had an Apple Music showcase with Black. And so I was able to, like, hang out with them there. And so we could, like, sort of get familiar and stuff. And that's how I kind of made that happen. It was, like, super, like, a lot of this video stuff, which is, like, super fire, I think, is very work-based. It's, like, if you're really fire, like, people are going to want to bring you on tour just because there's not really a lot of people out here, like, making dope videos. Like, there's a lot of photographers that you can bring. Like, there's very few photographers where you're like, man, I need that photographer, or, like, I can't bring anyone else. Video, it's like, if someone doesn't bring me on tour, it's like, who are they going to bring? Like, there's,
like you were saying earlier, you kind of had the double threat built up from being photo and video. And I feel you on that. I feel like there's a big need for video now, especially as social media gets bigger, and, like, there's just not enough demand of people doing, not only people doing good work, like you said, you're getting reached out to on the strength of your work, but also people who are not just trying to take a cool picture to show their friend, like, people who are hustling and networking, and they're trying to build something, and they're offering value in multiple ways, and they're ready to go, you know?
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
I mean, how is it always being on tour, like, moving from city to city and not being in one place?
It's cool. It's, like, I would say, like, the biggest challenge with those past tours was that I had, like, no time off between tours. So like, when I'm making videos on tour, generally, the biggest challenge I would say in general is having time to edit. Because, like, there's always stuff going on tour. Like, there's always something happening. There's after parties. There's stuff going on. Day, like, there's stuff going on, like, 24/7 when you're on tour a lot of times, when you're not driving. And so, and generally when they're driving, it's when you're asleep at night, so, like, you don't even have time then. So, like, that's, like, the hardest part is, like, finding time to edit. And I would say, like, for me, like, the thing you have to realize when you're on tour as, like, a photo or video person is that your job is, like, different from anyone else on tour. Like, you, like, when you're doing photo or video on tour, everyone else, like, their job is during the show, and then outside of the show, it's basically just, like, there's, like, people that have to, like, prepare for the show, obviously, and, like, take down stuff after. But essentially, like, their job all revolves around this, like, two-hour period. Other than that, they're pretty much free. And so they can, like, go get fucked up. They can go do whatever they want. And that's, like, okay, because it doesn't really cut into the time that they're actually working. But when you're a photo or video person, like, the most of your time, most of your, like, your work and stuff is outside of the show. Yeah. Because, like, you have to shoot the show, but then you also have to shoot stuff outside the show, and you also have to, like, edit and stuff like that, which is, like, a huge commitment. So, like, if you're out, like, partying with everyone and getting fucked up and going to everything during the day, it's, like, you're just not going to get your job done. And so I kind of found that I had to, like, really almost like be in hermit mode on tour. Like, I had to really just like grind and just work all the time and just be editing videos like all the time. Like, right as the show ended, I'd go back and I would edit videos, or I would like finish my, photos. I would like, so on the weekend tour, I was like putting out a bunch of photos of like the weekend and like his special guests he brought out, and they would go viral like pretty much every night. And like, and so I was just like constantly making videos and constantly working. And the other thing is, like, when you're going, I didn't have any days off between, I had one day off between the Kyle tour and the weekend tour, the Black weekend tour.
Yeah.
So I literally was like, I had to work on some Kyle videos during the Black tour, which was like terrible.
Yeah.
So I was like working on Kyle video. I was going back and forth for honestly the first like 2 weeks of the tour. I was going back and forth between Kyle videos and Black videos, which is just the worst situation.
So you had to make a lot of sacrifices, and you had to say no to a lot of people often, like, yo, Gibson, come with us. We're going here. We're going there. You had to say like, no, I got to finish this. It's going to take 4 hours.
Definitely. Yeah. I was just like, I drank like probably two nights that whole tour. Like, I didn't, like, everyone was just like, honestly, like, our crew didn't like turn up that much, I would say, compared to like a lot of tours, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely was like super low-key on that tour, just kind of like working on shit and just like, because I really wanted that tour. I mean, I want every tour I'm on, but that one in particular, I felt like that was like my first time really having like an audience. Like,
you're talking about the Kyle tour still?
Well, both of them, I guess. Okay. But especially the Black weekend one. Just because, like, it was a weekend tour. Yeah. I really felt like if I just made bangers from that tour, like, people were going to see. Like, I really felt a lot of pressure on that tour to make crazy stuff.
And you kind of were, to be honest. Like you said, a lot of your stuff was going viral at this time. Like, I saw a Complex and you were making those cool parallax type of videos.
Yeah, I didn't really do that until after the tour. But yeah, definitely, like, my photos of the weekend and
it Drake came a meme, up. Right? There was one that turned into a meme.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Of Weekend and Drake jumping up.
Yeah. There were just so many eyes on that tour that, and on Black too, because, like, I feel like the reason that tour was so cool for me also was, like, I feel like Black and I don't know, like, we're both, like, coming up, like, pretty quickly. I feel like we're at kind of similar points in our career. And so, like, there's so many eyes on Black right now, you know? Like, everyone is watching him because he's so, like, new and popping and stuff like that. And so I just felt like, yeah, I just felt a ton of pressure. I was like, man, if, like, he's going to post my video and, like, tag me and stuff, like, this needs to be retarded. Like, this shit needs to be crazy. You know, I can't, like, put out some average video for him, you know? And I only had, like, 3 or 4 videos to really, like, showcase my stuff. So I was like, I'm going to make sure I don't miss any of them. And so, yeah, so I just went, like, super hard with the editing and all that stuff and just made sure that everything was, like, my best possible work. And
was there deadlines? What was the deadline like?
Not really. They were pretty open to, like, they were pretty open creatively to, like, what I wanted to do, sort of. And so we kind of decided to make, originally we were going to do a video a week, and then we kind of, that was kind of, like, just hard because I wanted to, like, spend more time on it and, like, make them better. And when you do one a week, it's hard because, like, basically, like, you can't really edit until you've shot it all. So, like, I shot for, like, the first week, and I had a bunch of good content, but then I had to start editing because I can't really start editing until I've already had, like, a bunch of content and stuff, you know? Because, like, you can't, like, if I shoot the first day and then try to start making the video for the first week, it's just, like, I don't know what the intro is going to be. I don't know any of that stuff.
So you go in with, like, somewhat of a vision, and you kind of wait to see what you get, and
together. People ask me that a lot. I don't know, like, I never really know how my stuff is going to look. Like, I don't really know, I don't plan it out that much in advance. Like, there will be a couple shots, like, I know what shots are going to look good, like, what shots I can turn into something cool later, but I never know, like, the theme of the video. I never know, like, how it's going to look. So, like, the most recent video I put out from the festivals, it started out with this, like, thunderstorm kind of thing. And I was actually, like, when I was in the plane coming back from Lollapalooza, I tried to get a time lapse of the clouds. So I held my camera up, the glass up to the window, and I just held it there for, like, a little while. And then we hit turbulence, and it started bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah.
And then my fucking camera died. And I was like, God damn it, that is the worst thing ever. So, like, I was like, that is probably going to be unusable. So I went back and I tried to stabilize it out for like a type, or what's it called, a time lapse. Wasn't working at all because it was just way too choppy. So I was like, all right, like the only thing I can do with this now is like turn it into a storm. So I slowed down the beginning part and then like, and then sped up the end, and like it turned into like a cool, like smooth shot that turned into a storm. And I, and then I just kind of went from there. And then kind of the whole video was very like storm based, which yeah. A lot of my stuff is kind of like that. I just really like that aesthetic. But yeah, no, it's definitely like very, I just like kind of get shots that I think are cool, but I never really know how it's going to fit in. I never really have like a theme until, until after, you know?
Yeah, you just kind of follow your, I guess, your artistic instincts, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Where's the craziest place you saw, like, so you were making bangers, quote unquote, like back to back to back. Where's the craziest place you saw that, like, reach back to you? Were you ever just scrolling down your feed one day and you're like, oh, hey, I did that?
I don't know. I mean, my friend, like, runs this, runs Worldstar, the Instagram, this kid, Jason. Shout out, Jason. So he was posting, like, a lot of my stuff on Worldstar the whole tour, which was super fire. So that was cool. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't really see it. Like, I guess the biggest thing right now that is kind of, like, what I'm trying to work on is right now a lot of my stuff isn't very shareable. Like, it's really tight, but it's not that shareable. It's, like, very... I don't know. It's not viral content, and that's like, I want to make viral content. Like, I want to make stuff that's gonna like pop the fuck off on Twitter and stuff.
What is viral content to you? Like, I get what you're saying. Right now, it's well, like if I like the artist, then I'll share your video. Like, if I listen to Kyle Black, viral though?
It's a lot of times very short form content. So that's why I'm trying to do a lot of these like little GIFs and like and memes are like obviously the most viral thing. So I would definitely love to start making more memes.
As silly as it sounds, it's so true.
Yeah, like, memes like put on artists and songs, and memes are what like change careers. Like sick recap videos and sick music videos are dope, but like memes really change careers. And like but even GIFs can be very viral if you like put them out the right way.
Yeah.
And just like very short form videos. Like my 1 minute videos are cool. That's primarily what I've done so far. But they're just not super viral. And I think they're really good in terms of branding for artists that I work with, but I want to make stuff that's more viral. So on the tours that I have coming up, I just want to vary the stuff that I'm making a lot. Yeah. So instead of making strictly 1 minute things, I want to make 1 minute videos. I want to make like documentary kind of stuff. Maybe I want to make GIFs. I want to make moving photos. I want to make like all that stuff and like see what kind of pops off, you know?
If you ever on Instagram, like, you know how you can go on the explore page and you see different things like design, comedians, whatever, those different categories.
Yeah.
I feel like the stuff that goes viral is like a lot of that Cinema 4D stuff where you'll see like some like furry Cinema 4D person dancing to something, you know?
Yeah, that stuff goes crazy. And it's super fun to make too, so I'm definitely trying to get more into that. It's just like I have to figure out a way to incorporate it to my videos where it makes sense.
And like, you could like put the artist's song in the background and use it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's so many ways that you could do it.
That'd be dope. Yeah, I should definitely. I hadn't even thought of that really, like using that, like making those for my artists that I work with. But yeah, that'd be dope. But I definitely, I'm definitely trying to figure out like just cool new ways to like incorporate all those programs for my videos, because I mean, essentially I'm just trying to make like some crazy shit. Like I want to make shit that like in 20 years or 50 years people look back and they're just like, damn, like nobody was doing that shit at the time. Like that was so ahead of its time or whatever. Like I don't know what they would say, but just like people still be talking about it in 50 years, you know? There's so much shit right now that's like it's kind hot and then it disappears and no one gives a fuck about it after it's gone, because it's just like, and the whole, even with music, like the whole culture thing is like, it's cool, but like all this shit is so hit based. It's just like people get hot and then they fall off just as fast as they came up.
Yep.
And that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be around in 50 years.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. A lot of people, they follow the trends a little bit too closely, and so you'll see a video like 3, 4, or 5 years from now to today, you're gonna look back at a video that does like all these crazy zooms, and you're gonna be like, oh yeah, that video was made in 2017. That's so 2017 or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly. And in 5 years, I'm not gonna be making videos.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna be doing some crazy other shit. Like my like timeline is like I'm trying to make videos for like another like year or two maybe, and just like destroy the like the whole tour and like music kind of thing. And then I'm trying to get into like I really want to kill the whole like animation and just like 4D cinema 4D and like almost creating like real worlds. Like that's why like really that's really the direction I want to go in, is just like being able to create whole worlds from scratch, because I feel like that's just like the ultimate like the ultimate, I don't know how to describe it, but that's like so much more creative, I feel like, than anything else. Like so photo, I always was kind of, it was cool, but it was just like I didn't feel like there was as much creativity in it, because so much of it was based on other people. It was like where I was, like the people, the person in the photo mattered so much, like a lot of stuff that was just out of my control. And obviously a lot of it you can control, but with video I just felt like it was way more in my control. Like I could go to, all right, so if I was at like a really shitty concert, I could never make a crazy photo from that generally. Yeah. Like a lot of that, I don't know, maybe people will disagree with me on that, but I just never felt like I could really do crazy stuff at a tiny little concert, because I felt like I, to get the best photos, it needed to be like cool big stuff. And then with video, like I feel like I can make a crazy video from pretty much any concert. Mm-hmm. Just because it's like very more, I mean it's a lot more like editing and like and style based or whatever, you know. So I just feel like I have a lot more control with my videos than I do with my photos. And I just, but with Cinema 4D, it's like you can literally create anything you want.
It's from scratch. Nothing, you have no ingredients to start with.
There's no excuse to not make something crazy in Cinema 4D. It's like you're literally on an equal platform with everyone else on Cinema 4D. Mm-hmm. You know? And so you can do anything you want. And that's like just super inspiring, I feel like. And that's kind of the direction I want to go. And I just feel like it's like that would be a cool like progression from the stuff I'm doing right now. And then like beyond that, I want to get into like music. Like I want to like get into more production. Like I got like machine the other day and like this keyboard or something or something. And I want to like really go crazy on production and just, and learn all that shit. And just like, I get bored of shit super quickly. Like all these videos I'm making are cool right now. I feel like in 6 months I'll be over them all. Like I feel like I'm going to be so bored of this shit and I'm going to want to do some other shit. And I'm gonna do some other shit.
It seems like you're a fast learner, and like you have a lot of creativity that you want to express. Like I feel like everyone, I always keep one of those beat making apps on my phone, and sometimes I'll just sit there for hours and just like I sample stuff on the phone, and then like I'll try to like make a beat out of it. It's just fun.
Making music, awesome. I definitely need to get. I'm terrible at it right now. Yeah. But I have no rhythm, but hopefully that will improve. And even if I'm never, well, if I did it a lot, I feel like I would be fire. I don't think I would do it and like not get good.
Attitude, but you gotta have, you know. And I feel like you have that attitude, it seems like.
Because I don't like being not really good at things, and so like with this video shit, I'm just like constantly frustrated, because I'm always like, I put out a video and I'm like I understand that my stuff is like better than a lot of other things, like in terms of my lane, like in terms of tour videos, like I don't really see people doing the stuff that I'm doing or whatever, but at the same time I'm just so frustrated, because I like just see how much bigger and how much better it could all be, and I'm just like I'm here but I want to be like, I'm here and I want to be like so much better. I want to be able to incorporate Cinema 4D like seamlessly to all my shit. Like I want to do all this cool stuff and I want it to be so much better, and I'm just like constantly frustrated like that it's not as good as I want it to be. Yeah. And like I haven't like put out a video yet where I've been like happy with it. Like I am, but like deep down I'm just like, fuck, like I need this needs to be so much better. Like I need to get so much better so fast, and I feel like that's part of what like drives me to like keep watching tutorials kind of, or not even just fucking around with stuff.
Just learning, It seems like that's I feel like you have a strategy to hack. I was just reading this book about like how to get good at anything. I haven't finished it, but there's different strategies. There's one called Mastery.
Oh, okay, never mind.
What it's called. Do you read a lot of books? Or like,
I don't.
Is there any books particularly that have helped you out?
My sister loves books, and she read this book called like Hacking Your Education.
Yeah.
And she's been telling me to read it for like years, and I still haven't read it. But I feel like I've figured out like how to hack my education pretty well. But I should definitely read it at some point.
Yeah, I feel like some people have a good instinct on how to just hack stuff. And when I say hack, I mean, like, it seems like you're good at hacking how to get good at stuff. Like, okay, yeah. I'm going to go on YouTube. I'm going to search everything I can. I'm going to practice. I'm going to do this. You know, a lot of people, they don't even use what's right in front of them, like Google.
And that's, like, a good way to put it, like, hacking. Because a lot of it is just, like, really just finding, like, sus-ass ways to put shit together. Like when I'm doing the Cinema 4D shit and trying to mix Cinema 4D and After Effects and all this bullshit, like, there's like a good way to do it, and I'm absolutely not doing it the best way. I'm trash at all of these programs compared to, like, the best people, but, like, I'm able to, like, figure out just, like,
if it works, it works, you know?
Yeah. And if I need to, like, put some crazy, like, filter on shit to blend it all together or whatever, like, there's just so many ways to hack shit together, essentially. Yeah. But if you have, like, if you have good taste and you can understand what looks good and, like, look at your stuff objectively, you can just figure out ways to, like, put shit together in a way that makes sense, even if you're not technically good at it. Like, yeah, like, I'm so bad at After Effects and Cinema 4D, but I'm, like, finding ways to, like, just create shit that, like, works. Yeah. And it's weird, but
no, I agree with you, because I don't come from a technical film background or industry background or anything, but I agree with you. There's a right or wrong way. Like, technically, you know, there's 1080p quality and there's, like, the right standards for editing video. But at the same time, you can break a lot of rules as long as you get the final video and it works. Maybe you didn't use the best masking technique or the best whatever, but you got a way to put it all together and it works. But
yeah, exactly. As long as it comes out looking fire, nothing else really matters. It doesn't really matter how you got there.
So right now, so you're back home right now from the weekend tour, like, how did, so you're making all these bangers, and then how did you wrap up the end of that tour, and where are you at now?
So I finished that tour in, like, June, I want to say end of June or something, I don't really remember. Then I went on that road trip, and then basically the summer my goal was to learn Cinema 4D and After Effects and really, like, get good at those programs. And I would honestly say it didn't go as well as I thought it was going to. I don't think I was super productive this summer. I don't know. I'm just, like, not – it's hard for me to really get into projects when there's no, like, end goal. Yeah. And for a while, I was just trying to watch tutorials and trying to learn Cinema 4D, but I didn't have any specific project that I was trying to apply it to. I was kind of just, like, trying to learn it in general. And I definitely learned stuff, but, like, I just didn't feel like I was making – like, I just didn't feel like I was very good with my time, because, like, I was just trying to, like, make stuff to make it, and I was just not super inspired, and I was, like, I just kind of got bored and distracted a lot, and more recently, I've been, like, really trying to, like, apply my stuff to, like, real projects and real videos, and I've just been getting so much more done and learning so much more, and just, like, it's been way better. So I basically turned down a bunch of tours this summer because I did want to, like, focus on learning Cinema 4D and After Effects, because I really thought that was the way to, like, take my stuff to the next level. Mm-hmm. And also, I was just really tired. So it was definitely good to have a break this summer from everything, because I don't think I could have kept touring for another 3 months straight. I think I would have died. So I've definitely just been working on, like, learning a bunch of stuff this summer. And I did those festivals with Black, and I made a cool video from that, which is cool. But I'm definitely excited to get back out on tour. Yeah. I'm like,
well, what are the next steps? Do you have something in mind, or is there any projects bubbling up that you're about to head out on?
Yeah, I'm preparing. I'm leaving in, like, a week for a bunch of tours. So I'm basically going from one tour to another tour, back to the original tour, and then to another tour. So it's gonna be crazy. By the time this comes out, you guys will. I'll probably have announced it.
Do you manage all your own, do you manage, like, all, you handle all your own, like, I don't want to call it bookings, but, like, you manage yourself, right?
I do everything myself. I have a friend that's been helping me with, some stuff too, more just in terms of, like, contract stuff if I decide I need a contract for tours, but I haven't really gotten into any of that yet. It's more just, like, down the line once I'm, like, doing crazy bigger shit, he'll probably, like, be more useful. But right now, I'm doing everything myself. I'm just, like, it's all through, like, my relationships and, like, people that I know and stuff like that.
Who are some artists you want to work with?
Okay, my top two right now are are, well, Travis Scott definitely is like one of the top ones. Yeah. I would say Drake is definitely like up there. Those are probably the top two, honestly, right now. I just like really respect like people that are great at what they do, like, and I feel like Drake is the best out right now, and I respect it, and I really want to work with. I like surrounding myself with people that are amazing at what they do, and like and the best, because that's like I want to be the best at what I do, and so I like surrounding myself with people that are the best at what they do, and so I think working with Drake would be awesome. Yeah. And I think Travis Scott is right there next to him.
Yeah.
At the top right now. I would say those are the top two. If anyone listening to this knows someone that works with Travis Scott, let him know. I'm trying to work.
There we go. I hope that that happens through. That would make my life if my podcast connected two people like that. I mean, in such a cool way.
So this fall, I'm on some big tours. I'm really happy that I've been able to like make some big tours happen on my own, and I'm super excited, and I'm super stoked about the teams I'm going to be working with because they're super fire. And I think I'm in a really cool place right now because I'm making the best stuff I've ever made, and I'm working with the best people I've ever worked with, and I'm just super like stoked about what's like coming up, I would say. And I feel like this fall, I'm hoping, will really be a big
next
stepping
stone
in my career. And I feel like right now it's like I'm making these crazy videos, but like people don't really know my stuff yet. Like it's still kind of like low key. And whenever people see it, they're like, what the fuck? This is crazy. Like, how are you not like, how do you not have like 100,000 or a million followers or whatever? Like, this is so insane. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I guess it'll just take time or something. And so I'm hoping this fall will start to like kind of put me on the map with people because that would be cool. And also I just see so many people like jacking my shit. Like there's so many people that are like clearly trying to like make the videos I've been making and just like not doing it that well, but they're getting like more views than any of my shit has ever gotten. I'm just like, damn, but it's all good. It'll work out.
I feel you.
I'll figure it out.
I was going to ask you, so did you where were you exactly a year ago from today? Did you expect yourself to be right here, or like how would you describe that?
So a year ago I was on that Europe tour with Will, and I was literally making like my probably fifth or sixth video of my life today, a year ago. And this is like where I wanted to be for about a year ago. This is like, I think if you'd ask me like where I wanted to be in a year, I think it would probably be about where I'm at right now. I feel like, I don't remember exactly how I said it, but yeah, I was like saying that a year from then, I wanted to be like the best like tour videographer. Like, and I think I hope I'm like on pace for that. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I feel like a year from now, I definitely know where I want to be. Like, it's kind of like it's a balance between like, yeah, this is like crazy. Like, I've never done this before. I've never, like, the tours I'm going to be on this fall are the biggest tours like I've ever been on before. Like, that's crazy. But at the same time, it's like, that's what I wanted. That's what I like kind of envisioned. Yeah. That's kind of, I like, you know?
So where do you see a year from now?
I'm trying to do these tours. And then I'm trying to move into like bigger shit. Like, I'm trying to do like, I'm not trying to be a tour videographer. I'm trying to be like, I'm trying to make like music videos from tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the direction I want to go in, is like making music videos, like going on tour with an artist for like a week or two instead of a month and making like a crazy music video from it.
Okay.
Like, I want to go like a year from now, I want to be, well, maybe that, hopefully this will happen before the next year, but I want to be able to go on tour with Travis Scott and Drake for a week or two each and make a crazy music video from each of those tours.
Yeah.
You
mean like for a specific song?
Yeah, yeah. So, and so I would incorporate like show elements to it. I would incorporate like lifestyle stuff. I just want to make a music video that looks crazier than any music video, but also lets you into their life and kind of lets you get to know them as a person, because I think that's like the biggest thing that music videos are lacking right now. It's like
they're not documentary-ish. They're more like
they're very like studio and just forced and just like unauthentic, if that's a word, and just like fake as fuck and just super corny, I feel like. And it's just the same shit over and over again, essentially. And I feel like the videos that really, like, let you connect with an artist are the ones that are real, that, like, show them their day-to-day life and stuff, you know? And, like, it's fucked up because, like, music videos are out here getting, like, 50-100 million views, and then they're, like, recap videos that, like, really let you, like, understand who they are getting, like 50,000 or 100,000. Yeah. And it's like, man, if you, like, want to be popping as an artist, like, you're going to put some fake shit in your music video and, like, put all the real shit in, like, your recap video? Like, makes sense to me. Like, and I understand that they want the music video to look good, and so that's why it's, like, kind of a balance, like, but it's like, well, I can, like, make those recap videos look like music videos and also have it be real, have it be based on reality, not in some bullshit-ass, like, studio, you know? Like, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, like, bring that, like, authenticity of, like, the recap video and, like, the artists in their actual life doing real shit that, like, lets people connect with them, and put that in the video that's getting 50 million views, but also have it look crazier than any of the stupid studio music videos.
I feel you. I think that's a really awesome plan and vision, and I agree with you. That could be, like, kind of your signature style as you continue to develop it.
That's definitely, like, that's the next, like, phase of what I'm working on, and then I'll do that for, like, a couple months and then probably find some other shit, but
Actually. So where's the best place for anyone listening that wants to check out more of your stuff or just follow your journey to find you at?
I mean, Instagram's probably the best. Instagram and Twitter, both at Gibson Hazard. I have a YouTube channel that has my videos if you want to watch them in HD, but it's not very popping. Yeah. My YouTube is not popping. I don't, like, how do I get my YouTube popping?
You need to help. You gotta give away the sauce. I'm down to help you out however I can. We'll figure that out afterwards.
Gosh, my YouTube is out here pulling, like, 200 views on shit, and all these people are commenting, like, why is your YouTube so trash? Or why is your YouTube popping? I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand. But anyway, you can find my stuff on YouTube, but Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, I'm trying to be more active on Twitter. I'm trying to really post, like, just hella content on Twitter. And so my thing before I leave for tour, I'm trying to put out a video, like, almost every day. I think I'm going to miss a bunch of days because I'm spending more time on these little videos than I thought. But I've been trying to post a bunch of little, like, GIFs and just kind of, like single transition shots, like just one transition. So that was, like, the thing I put up the other day, and then I put up this stupid little Narnia shit yesterday.
I
don't know.
Cool. So I'll link all that stuff below. You guys should definitely go check him out, give him a follow. As you can tell, he's going to be doing some interesting things and already has done a lot of interesting things. And every time you post a video, you blow my DMs up. So definitely go give him a follow. And Gibson, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you. Appreciate your time. Any last things you want to say?
I don't think so.
Peace, love, and happiness.
For having me, bro.
Appreciate it. All right. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that episode with Gibson Hazard on the show. As you can see, one of the biggest takeaways I feel is that he's always hungry to learn more. He's always trying to improve and be the best that he can. And he's using the tools that we have available today, like YouTube, Google, and just practicing and not waiting for anyone to give it to him. Just kind of figuring things out on his own and keeping his goals high. If you guys did enjoy this episode, don't forget that you can leave a review and rating on iTunes. And you can also find it on youtube.com/JustinOdishowTV. You can find me everywhere at Justin Odishow. Drop us a message on Instagram, Twitter, DM us. Let us know what you thought about the podcast, if you have any questions, and go reach out to Gibson. Give him a thank you if you got some value out of this. Thank you guys so much for listening all the way to the end here, and I'll catch you in the next episode.